From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Afternoon Edition.
Right now in the Afternoon Edition, emotions running high during the funeral services for Banco Brown today, a month after he was fatally shot by a security guard at a Walgreens in San Francisco. Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Yamamoto. Well, family and community members came out to say goodbye and their final goodbyes to Banco Brown, the man who was shot and killed by a Walgreens security guard last month in San Francisco. And those emotions were running high during the ceremony, even boiling over at one point. As people started shouting at one another, one person having to be held back, it lasted a few minutes, but things eventually calmed down and that service did resume. Brown was killed at a Walgreens on Market Street in April after he allegedly stole some snacks from the store. Since then, there have been continued protests calling on the San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins to charge the guard, especially after security footage showed Brown leaving the store before the shooting. But in the weeks since then, State Attorney General Rob Bonta has agreed to review the case and decided if the state will indeed file any charges against the security guard. Moving on, robberies are up 7% so far this year in Oakland. It comes as 9 juveniles ranging in ages 17 just to 12 years old are suspected of pulling off nearly 36 of those crimes.
These are our babies. These are our children. And they deserve a chance to get things together. They deserve a chance to have the level of support to help them turn things around.
We're taking all of this very seriously, and we're taking all different approaches to ensure a better and stronger quality of life in the city of Oakland.
And the city of Oakland is vowing to do more to curb crime, and Mayor Sheng Tao joining us now. So, Mayor, thanks for joining us. I think that the number or the ages of the children that were involved in some of these crimes of the juveniles that were shocking to a lot of people. So my question is, how do you begin to solve this problem, not just bringing down the crime rates, but making people feel safe in your city?
Absolutely. You know, we must have accountability. And OPD has been working extremely hard, making it, as you stated, a series of recent arrests focused on the robberies and the burglaries that have hit our city. And we know, you know, for me, it's important that our families can walk out and walk and shop at the stores and even to their car and feel safe. And so I'm working with OPD to bring foot and motorcycle patrols back to our neighborhoods. And we are working together to strengthen these community ties, including in our business districts, so that we can deter and solve these crimes. But to your point, these suspects, the majority of them are juveniles. And let's be clear, the juveniles are behaving in this way because there are adults that are attached to these juveniles that are showing them this way. And so we, as the Department of Violence Prevention, is focused on engaging the young people and their families so that we can expand the services and create the alternatives for them. But at the same time, there will be accountability.
So how do you balance funding to fight crime? Some groups want more funding for police. Others say that money is better spent on those services. There are those who want more funding for youth programs to keep kids off the streets. It's a juggling act. So how do you find that balance?
Absolutely. It's a comprehensive approach. It's not one or the other. And my budget actually explicitly shows that, right? We have that we are going to not close any of the programming in the rec center, something that past administrations have easily taken money from, so that we can continue to program these services for our young people. And then at the same time, I'm also investing in 6 police academies to ensure that there are officers ready to respond for a better quality of life in the city of Oakland. And so we are working here in the city of Oakland, myself, my office, with the Department of Violence Prevention and with the Oakland Police Department together as one. This is a unique time where we are all working together. This has not been done before in the city of Oakland. The departments are usually siloed off and not anymore. We'll be working together along with the Sheriff's Department and other departments as well too, including CHP.
And recently, all the mayors from California's major cities met in Sacramento to talk about homelessness. Clearly, this is a statewide issue, not just an Oakland problem or a Bay Area problem. Anything positive come from these talks? Anything productive come from these talks?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very tough, these are tough challenges that all cities are facing. I was once homeless myself, and I can tell you that never once did I ever want to just find a piece of land where I could pitch a tent. I wanted affordable housing. I want to be able to, you know, not have to worry about first month, last month, and deposit in order to get into housing. And so, what we proposed to the California lawmakers and the governor as well, too, has been very promising. We all know that there needs to be housing for mental health services. Currently, we don't have that tie right now. And we all know that the counties as well, too, play a huge role in this. And so we are all working together. I'm very optimistic. I am also very proud of my team. We were able to shut down and clear and clean and the largest encampment in Northern California, the Wood Street encampment. And while doing that, anybody who wanted to take shelter were able to take dignified shelter with programming. And that was about 85% of that population who chose to actually go into shelter. And so I'm very proud of the city workforce and for my team to make sure that we were able to do that. And it's going to be an example for the rest of the city and the nation.
And so how much money does the city of Oakland, how much will it need from the state to begin to solve this problem?
Well, first of all, we're going to need the capital funding to actually put up the temporary shelter. And then from that point, we need funding from the county to administer the programming. We don't have a health department in the city of Oakland, and I'm not interested in pretending like we do, because we don't have that kind of resource. And so the county will then come in to actually program. And from there, we have to triage the situation. Is it 24/7 forever mental health services that we need to offer? Is it a cocktail medication? Is it substance abuse, right? And on what spectrum? And so it's all very case by case, and we are going to need millions of dollars in order to get this done. But again, a win on the local level here, like the city of Oakland, is a win for the state and is a win for the nation.
All right, well, thank you very much, Mayor Shang Tao. Always a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
I'll see you soon.
In the meantime, Governor Gavin Newsom was in Contra Costa County today to outline the state's new clean energy plan aimed specifically at increasing construction of clean infrastructure to both lead the fight against climate change, but he also says it will produce hundreds of thousands of new jobs. At the same time, the plan would eliminate or streamline the process of getting new projects approved, inspected, and finally get them started. Okay, let's give you a live look at SFO as we expect a surge in travelers this holiday weekend. SFO is expecting more than 140,000 people will pass through the airport. And nationwide, AAA is predicting nearly 3.5 million Americans will take to the skies. That's an 11% increase from last year. And federal officials now working to make sure last year's wave of flight cancellations and delays do not happen again. And speaking of travel and vacations, let's get the first alert meteorologist, Jessica. Were you stuck in some of that last time?
I wasn't, but I remember us reporting on it.
Oh,
and
my
I felt
goodness.
Terrible for everyone at SFO.
Yeah, and you just want to go on vacation and you just get stuck.
Oh, the worst. Ugh. All right, well, let's start off once again at SFO. I'm going to give you your travel forecast if you're heading out the door today or tomorrow out to our local airports to maybe get out of town for a nice long weekend. Current temperatures at SFO, well, they're sitting in the mid-50s. We're actually pretty cool right now. Temperatures are about 5 to 10 degrees below average today, and we haven't even hit our daytime highs just yet. Sitting at 65 right now in Concord. Later this afternoon, we'll warm up to the mid-70s. Yeah, it's a mild setup for us today, way different than how we kicked off this work week when we were dealing with upper 80s, lower 90s. That was nice. However, this is what we're looking at heading into the rest of this week. Now, I'm going to start large scale real fast, and we'll talk more about Bay Area coming up in your first alert forecast, but all throughout the state, there's a little bit of a disturbance right now just off the Rockies, a similar setup pulling back from the Atlantic Ocean into the Carolinas. So as we take a look at our travel forecast this afternoon, all throughout the whole country, actually, we're seeing a variety of weather. But this is what we're looking at as we head into the forecast tomorrow. A very similar trend, some thunderstorm activity near Denver, clear conditions near Chicago, beautiful across most of the states. We'll have more on your Bay Area Memorial Day forecast coming up in just a bit. Back to you, Ryan.
Thanks, Jess. Still no debt limit deal in sight as Washington lawmakers leave the U.S. Capitol for the Memorial Day holiday weekend. But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says debt negotiations between his team and the White House are making progress. If no deal is made by early June, the country might run out of money to pay its bills. This comes as the credit agency Fitch says it is now moving the U.S. credit rating, shall I say, to negative watch due to the increasing risk the nation might default. So let's take a look and see how this is having an impact on Wall Street. We had a bit of a spike there a little bit in the afternoon or late morning there. But as you can see right now, it's still trending down 38 points. Well, college graduation season is here, and the classes of 2023 is about to hit the job market. But this year's grads might have a bumpy road ahead. They started college just before the pandemic in 2019, and there have been a lot of changes in tech and finance since then. There's also a rise in AI technology, and according to LinkedIn, hiring overall is down 29% since April of 2022, and while hiring for entry-level jobs requiring a college degree has dropped nearly 32%.